Last time we met, we read Hosea 10, and we said that the Feast of Pentecost was the sealing, or sealing the death of the human race, and the imprimatur of God on the new existence. Christ was the last Adam. You understand that? Something new then has to happen after Adam. So then in the New Testament, then Paul says things like, "For I die daily, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Who's dying daily? If you died in the human race, if you died at the cross, if you died with the human race, then who's dying daily in the New Testament? In you. It certainly isn't you, you're dead. You die daily because the sacrifice of Christ is made daily by the rejection of men in you. You understand that? What don't you understand?
The part about the rejection of men in me.
What did I, that it would bother me? No. Go to Romans. I have a feeling this is one of those nights I'm not going to get to study what I want to. Romans 8. Verse 36. As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Who's killed all the day long? "For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter."
Goodbye.
Okay, go to Luke. Luke 14. Verse 27, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross," what does it mean to bear his cross? It means to die, right? You got it? "Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Who's dying in the bearing of the cross? If you never lived, then who's dying? You don't believe me. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. I feel like I'm talking Greek to English speakers. 5 verse 14. "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead."
I thought that dying daily meant seeing that daily. And I am crucified with Christ. I mean, I thought it meant seeing that each day.
Seeing what?
Coming to the end again every day.
But if you died on the cross, if all men died on the cross, then who's dying daily?
That thing that thinks it's alive. I thought. Think.
The Antichrist.
The Antichrist never went to the cross. Go to Philippians. Sometimes I think like I speak for like 8 years or 10 years or 20 years, and all of a sudden it dawns on me like there's a key element I have that feeling right now. There's like this key element that nobody's ever understood.
Feel that same way? I feel that same way too sometimes. Where have I been for
17?
I didn't make it. I missed it by that.
All this time I've been doing that.
Been working the whole time.
Jeez. Could have just relaxed.
Verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not something to be grasped or robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
So what's the question?
Who dies? If you never were, if the human race died at the cross, then who's dying in all these instances? When we just go to Galatians 2, let's see another one. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
So if we don't see that, then at times you don't see that, if that's when it's crucifying Christ afresh.
What you're doing is you're deflecting. It's the human race's system of deflection. Some of you know a lot about deflection, don't we? It's this insistence on thinking that you exist. And so Harry is dying daily. No, he's not. Harry never lived.
Christ dying fresh, constantly.
As long as time exists.
I didn't hear that, I'm lost.
But then that moment is going through eternity, is what you're saying, right?
I don't remember saying that.
But if it's out,
I'm saying, who's dying? When you pick up your cross, who is dying?
A damn good question. There's a personal pronoun there. I, about a zillion times. Who is it? It's not Paul?
So if there's, if you look at linear time, this one, you take the pole and move it this way, what's one thing that's happening? You either see you're living on the linear, or you see you're living on that one. So each time you see that...
When you see you're living both of these, you're nothing. You've always and ever only been a vessel for deity. You never been any. You haven't been Jack, independent of that. You've been a vessel for deity who in the past has been masquerading as Harry, and now who still tries to masquerade as Harry or Ed or Sherry or whoever. And the moment you try to masquerade as Harry or Sherry or whoever, you're on this line and you're judged from the beginning of your life until the end. And unless you meet every standard of the law, you're hopeless. This way you're judged as Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and Christ is dying daily. So there's never any rights. He's always emptying himself. He's always made of no reputation. There's never any rights. And on that basis, it's Christ who is dying daily. Where are you in this equation? It's either the Antichrist or Christ. Where are you?
But he's not dying again and again. He's only dying once through time. That's what you're saying.
What's the difference?
No, I'm not. If that were the case, then you could justify the kingdom theology. Or you could...
There's no blood. There's just an echo.
Well, the first time I realized that
for a while, I got upset thinking, you know, how lightly she'd taken me and blah, 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 blah. And then I thought, well, no, it's not me. It's how lightly she's taken by it, blah, blah, blah. I thought, no, it's not the body. It's Christ, how she's crucified Christ afresh and anew. And the rest is very insignificant. But I've always thought that that was a sin. That that was the bad part for Christ to be crucified afresh and anew.
Well,
those are mutually exclusive.
Don't you see that all of these attempts are attempts to try to have you become something? That either that Sherry is understanding something today, or she's not understanding something today, or Harry is getting it right today, or he's not getting it right today. Or I'm going to try not to think about myself. I'm going to try to abandon myself today.
I always had this image too that Christ died once and he was resurrected, so he was the guy that was always alive, and I'm the guy that's always dying, so that he can live or something.
Okay, who is it that's? I think it's probably my fault, but it's because I didn't fully explain the Feast of Pentecost. Let's go to Philippians 2 again. Chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I mean, stop a minute and think. If I've said to you, for the love of Christ constraineth us, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Does that compute at some level? Okay? Then something else has been happening. There's been an illusion taking place. And the illusion is, it has to do with duality. It has to do with you and Jesus, or you and the Antichrist. It's either three or two. Right?
Three.
So if it's three, you're in really bad shape. If it's two, you're in terrible shape.
What's three?
It's you, Jesus, and the Antichrist.
A lot of voices in there.
If it's three, all that can happen is you get kicked around a lot, because you will be opposing yourself constantly. You understand that?
I certainly do. I'm about ready to scream.
Why would you want to continue to oppose yourself? That would be true if it wasn't for the Feast of Pentecost. If it wasn't for the Feast of Pentecost, then there could be two. It could be you and Jesus.
If it wasn't, but there wouldn't be three?
And the Feast of Pentecost?
No, you said if it wasn't for the Feast of Pentecost, there could be two. So
because
Pentecost
on the feast
happened, there'd be two. You and
yeah,
Jesus.
Because on the feast,
what happened to the third guy?
He got crucified on the cross by the theology of three.
So at that point, the Antichrist was defeated.
I gotta ask you a question. I'm about ready to die.
No, you're dead.
What's in here? There's something in here.
A lie. A lie trying to become something. A lie that what's in there is best described in Revelation 13. There really is only one in there. If it's still alive, it's still it's if if it's still giving that kind of thought. It's not Harry and then this other voice, and then it's only one. But it has all kinds of forms. Let's go to Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. That's a picture in mythological form of your mind. Satan, the Antichrist, was defeated on the cross. His head was bruised. His head was overcome. He received a deadly head wound. But that head was apparently healed. And all the world is wondering after that one. That's the one that the world is wondering after. Now for us who talk about the knowledge of the cross and the dying of self, then we can overcome this. We overcome him by the word of the Lamb, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But at any given time, there's going to be all of these voices that are here. How many voices are there? Well, it could be an infinite number. That's why the only way of life is to abandon them. Abandonment of self. Not pay any attention to those. And if you stop feeding them, then they go away. I mean, you must suspect by now that the constant arguments you have with yourself are getting you nowhere.
I was going to say, I mean, we prove that our brain is stupid and makes mistakes constantly, but yet still, I mean, it's like we'll wonder, like, oh, God, you know, how can you come up with this, or, you know, think about that, or, you know, it's like, start worshiping it some more, even though it's like it was just wrong, you know, 5 seconds ago, 10 seconds ago, you know, but we just pick it up and, you know, and the bruise heals, and then we go on with some more.
You just said, if you don't listen to it and you ignore it, then it'll go away. Is the you? Who's the you? The you is the one that dies daily? The you is Jesus Christ?
And that's how it dies.
Okay, but then I don't understand why when I say you, who's in here, you say a lie. Jesus Christ is a lie? I mean, this is just makes me crazy. Like when I'm freaking out and you're exhorting me and restoring me to wherever, I mean, you say you're believing a lie. Who's the you?
Well, it's like Christ was tested constantly. I mean, that's...
There's a seed.
Does Christ in me get deluded?
He's potentially deluded. Yeah, otherwise, if he wasn't potentially deluded, then you're not believing in Christ, you're believing in an idol.
Is this like that thing about the guidance system, the missile, that it's only on when it's off course? It's only aware when it's off course?
It's only aware of itself when it's off course.
So Jesus Christ is not, it just is, and it's this lie that is aware of it?
Again, let's stop a minute. That's what the Feast of Pentecost is so important, nobody understands. On the Feast of Pentecost, the seed, the sperma, the innocence of
Christ was planted in each vessel, each human being. The genetic structure was inexorably altered of the human race. So then that process now, he became, as I said, he became the first pecan, but now, and that pecan then fell into the ground and died and became a perfect tree. But that tree is abiding alone. He wants a bride, he wants a companion tree. So he's shaking it. In the Feast of Pentecost, all these pecans fell into the ground. Don't you see, from time beginning, from the beginning of your consciousness or awareness of yourself, you've been running around trying to be a better pecan. You've been trying to polish the shell and get it right and do this and learn how to be a better pecan. All that God ever wants you to do is to fall into the ground and die, because the way of the pecan is made perfect in Him. As you die daily, He, the companion, it's not going to be another He, because now it's a bride that will be arise.
And the way to the death is through Christ.
The way to the death is Christ. Is Christ.
Everything is Christ. I mean, even the delusion is Christ. I mean,
because it had to be that way in order to
fall into the ground and die of your own volition. Christ is the only way to die, and that's through the cross.
He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. He's not going to show you the way. You think you're going to learn something. He already is it.
It's the bride that's growing, that's falling into the ground and dying and growing. But it's through Christ. Christ is the only way. He's our only.
Now, this isn't an easy concept. Paul had trouble with it.
But if we're dying, then that almost means we can live too.
But where the death, we die daily because his nature in us every day is expended.
But if it's us as an individual dying, then we're not dead and we're not out of the picture.
We believe the lie. We believe the lie.
I mean, Christ was a kid too. So is it when we're screwed up, it's just Christ being a child or something? But it's still Christ.
That's why he can confidently stand back and take his hands off and say, his will be done, because he knows it's going to happen.
But the only part of us that is anything is the Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God, right?
Be careful with that, or you end up as a Gnostic.
That's what I'm trying to clarify. I'm kind of where Harry is. You've got...
If I say to you, body, soul, and spirit, okay, then that is something that you can handle. You can get a handle on that. You can say, well, the spirit is the way that I relate to God, the body is the way I relate to the world, and the soul is my conscience, so the way I relate to myself. So I've got some definitions here that I can deal with. But the transfigured Christ, how do you deal with him? What part of the transfigured Christ was body, soul, or spirit? And if our goal is to be transfigured by the renewing of our mind, then the definitions of self, the definitions of soul and body and spirit all have to go to the dump. Again, let's go to Hebrews 6.
It's a major relief to know that everything is Christ.
Well, that's what I want to ask you about.
Therefore, if I'm screwed up, I don't have to worry that I'm getting in the way. It's Christ. It's all right. This seems like it's a big burden that's lifted.
This is the gospel.
I think you're talking about what's going on.
Yeah, I was like, suddenly I saw the other side of the coin. I'm happy because it's like I can't get off the way. I can't get off the railroad track. I'm going to be on the track.
There's three places I can be. One is a wonderful place where, I mean, it's just, don't even think about it. Just, everything's fine. And the other one is absolutely horrible, and it's separate and hated and despised and useless and angry and want to kill myself or kill everyone.
And always yelling at you.
Well, that's... And then in between those is that awful place of thinking I'm heading there or thinking I'm already there and am I going to get caught and stuff. But is he... Is that Christ being expressed through me in each of those?
That's right.
In other words, at those times when I believe that I am hated by you and everybody, I mean, out, gone, hopeless.
Out of here.
That's,
you're out of here.
That's Christ.
Same thing. You can't be anything. If Christ is all and in all, then you can't be in a position that isn't Christ.
Then why does it feel so incredibly horrible?
Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered.
Well, I mean, it even got so horrible for Christ that he said, why have you forsaken me? I mean, it got so bad for even him to say that.
Okay. I can really relate to... I think Paul wrote Hebrews, and so I can relate to Paul here, right? Hebrews 5. Though he were, verse 8, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now see, that's verse 9 now. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Can you hear that? Can you believe that? Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, you understand that the Aaronic priesthood was a model. A show, the thing that's the same thing in Melito Sardi. But Christ isn't a priest after the order of Aaron. He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is the key to the understanding of all of the mysteries. I mean, I promise you. Now listen to what Paul says. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now from God's standpoint, good and evil is soul and spirit. You understand that? God isn't... But to have your senses exercised, you must experience it. Can you hear that? You must experience the negative in order to know the barrier. I mean, it's the inertial guide, internal, it's that guidance system.
Which is the no peace.
Huh?
Peace versus no peace.
Well, whatever, the barriers, however it affects you. I mean, Harry's convinced that I come from a different planet. I'm tempted to do, and how many times do you ever see me talk about myself or worry about whether something is happening?
Oh, I know. I know. Never. And that's wrong with me.
Okay. Do you think that I'm some kind of a super saint or something?
Well, it depends on where I am. Usually I think it's just because you know something, you've seen something, you've experienced something that I have not known or experienced. But sometimes I believe it's because I'm intrinsically unfit.
Okay, well, that's the lie.
I mean, I have not believed what we are saying. I have not believed. I have believed that there are things that I do and things that I say and circumstances that God puts me in that cause me to be hated and removed and put outside with the door closed. And I'm only let back through the door out of pity, mercy, or grace or something, whatever that means. But it's always, the coming back in is always conditional on not doing again what it is I did that caused me to be thrown out.
Harry, you've done the same things 5,000 times. Well, then it sort of, that goes, coming back in is conditional.
And I still, the construct is, you're let back in out of pity.
Okay. We have many things to say about this Melchizedek, but we can't because Crystal's ears are dull. But therefore, in chapter 6, that's where I want to get to. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. Don't you see, all of those things are parables, are metaphors, are to show us a mystery. And once you've seen the mystery, you don't need the... You don't need to play the game anymore. I mean, trust me just as one thing, because of the Feast of Pentecost, God is all and in all. There's no place, there's no thing, there's no position that you can be in that it isn't Christ. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I really hope it's true.
It's not a matter of hope.
You know, it's like the fire, the Acts, you know, the fire when at Pentecost when the seed was spread, which is the power that's all left.
So when God has you in the straits, you just...
It's Him. It's His business.
Just go.
I feel like I've been in third grade for the last 12 years, and every year I have to repeat the third grade. It's over.
Second grade.
I mean, this right here. Second grade. I feel like, you know, some kid, you're doing the second grade over again this year.
Well, see, I remember you saying a long time ago that everything and everyone is, and you said specifically, and so Lee is perfect just the way she is.
Where is she an enemy?
In her mind.
Go to Colossians.
Yeah. Well, this would explain why I judge other people.
Oh.
This would certainly.
Oh.
I certainly have not believed that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. I believe that everything can separate me from the love of Christ. Go where?
Colossians. Remember this.
Yeah.
Remember what we studied in Colossians where it talked about this? You can study the Bible all you want. You can be a monk. You can have your body burned. You can go memorize all scripture. You can memorize the Talmud. But as long as you're in the age of this world, it's all meaningless. And it was the event that occurred on the Feast of Pentecost that empowered us to be translated out of that kingdom into that kingdom and live like we are. This kingdom, there's only self-awareness, trying to get it better, trying to get it right, the knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge of reward and punishment, of cause and effect, of judgment, of all of the other things that are part and parcel of this world. In this world, it's the age of love and grace, unmerited favor, freely given. You can't mix the two. There's an inseparable gulf that separates those two worlds. You can visit this one, and then you can come back and live in this one, or you can live in that one, and every once in a while come back and visit this one, but you can't be in them both. You can't be in both of them. You understand? If you're in that world, if you're in the age of the world to come, if you're in the eternity, if you're in the kingdom of God, then there's no self-awareness. It doesn't matter if you gave your body to be burned, it wouldn't be aware, you wouldn't, there's no self-awareness. In this bottom area, there is only self-awareness. The Feast of Pentecost is the feast that enables us to not only live in the Spirit, but to walk in the Spirit. Now.
But yet God is all in and all in both places.
Right, but it's your, listen. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And he has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Translated, metamorpho. Transfigured. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled.
Well, I mean, everything is him. It's nothing about Joe Blow's dying. It's all him. He is all things by him.
Amen. But see, that you've spent all of this time being an enemy in your mind, but that too is of him. Because it's will fully test. It's what was necessary to fill up the affliction that is lacking in the body of Christ. And if it's impossible to suffer anything unless it's for someone else's benefit. Understand a little bit.
Today this happens to me. I drive around on Sunday and I turn the radio on. I have church services on WR. It happened again today. Where I'm driving along, and I hear these people in this great big church with this choir and the organ and everything, and they're doing like the doxology and the Apostles' Creed and stuff, and I just start crying because I feel totally connected, and I mean, it's like absolutely connected.
And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable.
It's kind of easier to see that there's no condemnation. I mean,
amen.
I can.
But you see that, and we've seen it. I mean, you see it a thousand times. It's in your mind.
So to feel like you're not sanctified is a lie. To feel like you're not...
To feel like you're not perfect is a lie.
But I'll go ahead and say this. But isn't it dangerous to start thinking and saying that you are?
Well, the evidence that you don't think you are is that
you have to say
you have to say it.
Yeah. I mean, I can just hear it. You're getting puffed up. What do you mean you're perfect? You mean?
I mean, it just never comes up. I mean, I don't.
Clara's did a
several minutes to be able to reconcile. Feels just like reconciles, just like a domicile, like in the cocoon, in the ground, there isn't anything happening.
Well, the word reconcile in the Greek means to exchange, which is an interesting word. I mean, it's he's not imputing the trespasses unto the world, but he's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of exchanging identities, so that we let the world, that those who are around us know they're not judged by what they do, or did, or have done, or didn't do, or might do, or they're judged by his life.
But you can't do that if you think you're judged by what you
do. No, because then you...
There's no words you can reconcile.
Yeah, but, yeah, and if you...
It just is.
If you... Desire. If you see that... If you don't believe, you can't, by definition, you can't speak of this with any power unless you know you are forgiven. If you don't know you're forgiven for everything, then you nothing you say will have life.
There you go with that you again. That's where I
jump the track. Well, he's always speaking to Christ in you.
That's the only, okay.
Okay, listen, there's...
If you're going
to
say...
Right unto you, little children, because your sin is forgiven. I write unto you, adolescents, because you know the Father. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abideth continually in you and you've overcome the evil one. I write unto you, fathers, because you've been with Him from the beginning. No, I write unto you, Gentile. Or I write unto you... It's all in one of those positions.
But it's, I guess my perspective is that anything that causes inward looking should be thrown away.
No, I mean, that's the whole, you can't come out of the position of the adolescent without looking inward totally. I look within and I'm depressed. I look around and I'm distressed. But you, if you say, oh, I'm not supposed to look in there, that's crazy.
It's just denial.
Then it becomes, it's this little six-year-old boy that's wearing a suit.
That gets power.
No, it's the idea, it's a six-year-old boy wearing a suit to school when all the other kids are wearing shorts. You understand that? Because you're trying to be something you're not. You just be what you are. It's God's business. As you see Him, you shall be like Him. As you see Him as a child. If the only thing you can apprehend of Christ is that your sin is forgiven, that's all you'll ever know. And I don't know what'll happen in eternity, but I know that in your theology and in the way you conduct your life, you'll be hiding out in under the blood here somewhere in the world, trying to get to the land of Goshen. You know, I don't care what the world teaches about Christ. We can only walk in what light we have been given. And the light I have been given is to bring you into the mercy seat, so that every word you speak is the oracle of God. And it's critical that you see that you not say, well, this is the way it's supposed to be, or not supposed to be. That doesn't even enter into the, that's not even an issue. Do you understand that we would have never once gone after the televangelists if they hadn't started affecting us, i.e. the Harry giving money or the other people coming around that, I mean, it wouldn't bother me if we gave it up tomorrow. I don't have nothing invested in it. I mean, my point is we're just being honest to what's presented to us. It may be a childish thing for us as a body to do, to go after these idiots. I don't know. But we're pursuing it. And now, it's a... But whatever it is, as a body, we can't take any thought for ourselves any more than you as individuals can take thought for yourself. We can say the body's supposed to be doing this and supposed to be doing that. All we can do is see, as I see Jesus, I see as I see him in the forgiveness of sin, as I see him in the fullness of all the offerings, as I see him as complete and standing, then I shall become like him. He will it and do it in me. That's all I have to do. None of this is could have been possible except for the Feast of Pentecost. And that's what I want you to understand. Because the Feast of Pentecost was a seminal event. It wasn't a philosophical event. Or even, it was historical only in the context that it's, man, I'm not really sure if it was historical. I think that makes it, trivializes it.
For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. To die is gain is like, is that like I must decrease that he may increase this as,
no.
As he's revealed?
No.
What is to die is gain? What is that?
You can't, to die in your present apprehension of it.
To live is Christ and to die is Christ.
Okay, if I only apprehend him in one dimension, if I only apprehend him with regard to a bunch of rules of how to have a successful marriage, then I can only try to do that, and I can only apprehend, as long as I believe that those rules work, then I can't see death. And I can't get anywhere, I can't get beyond that position until I see the death of that position.
Oh, okay. So to come.
But it was still him.
So to come through that, to enter into that tribulation, to go through that tribulation, to come to the end, that heart-rending end,
right,
is gain.
Okay. I feel like I, for the first time, caught a glimpse of what it means to see that you're from the very beginning. From the foundation, that, and I mean, so an understanding how you get to the kingdom of God is see that, you know, that you died with Christ, and only through him as well can you be resurrected.
Amen.
Because it's all.
And that's why the bride has to be perfected till she can say, I was with him from the foundation of the world.
Because I am not Christ, but it's through Christ. That the bride is formed.
Yeah, that's the what's problem, and most of the heresies that are abroad today is, it's all of the power and the promises of this, of the which are all right, but they're given to the isolated self instead of the bride, and that's really serious.
We don't know what she looks like. No. All we can do is be that one feature.
Yeah, and plus the fact that the scary thing about for us is. I would much rather have been, you know, I wouldn't have done it, but I mean, had whatever happened to me been realized like in Highland Park Methodist Church or in some place, I mean, if there would have been a contact, then I would have been perfectly happy over there. I didn't want to start all this crap. Yes. But I saw things that couldn't be satisfied by that experience. You know, it's only now that there's, it's...
And so you had to speak to it.
Yeah.
So you had to...
I had to keep speaking
pushing,
it.
Yeah. I feel like you just said touches on what I experienced this morning, because what I was listening to was Park City Presbyterian or Highland Park Presbyterian, whatever it is. And it was like, I felt like I and we are totally connected to that. It's not like we're some weirdos practicing some religion in the jungle someplace. I mean, it's the same church. And I mean, I heard, I said with them the Apostles' Creed,
sure,
and the doxology, and it's like, it's the same body.
Yeah, and that's why we must be able to say that...
We belong there.
We belong to the universal body of Christ. I mean, it's... And the whole body doesn't have to look like us. That'd be crazy.
I think we're one of the body parts, is what I think.
So wherever we go, we either, like, test up against... You know, what isn't, you know, of us, or we become one with
Amen.
With what is.
Amen.
Cool.
But But we're free, and that's what you have to see. You're free to stop all this self-analysis horseshit.
Yeah, it's free. To me, it lets me understand that you can't make a mistake and call him, and it clarifies the idea that we're just the vessel.
And you can afford to prophesy.
Yeah, and if we're nothing but the container for Christ, we can't die daily, or we can't get it wrong, can't get it right.
And it's like, what if when you talked about you were at the Highland Park, and if you would have held down whatever it was you were feeling, whatever it was you wanted to say, for the sake of whatever goals or whatever you thought it should look like, we wouldn't be here.
It's true.
That's pretty wild. That even shows even more that you've got to just keep, you know, whatever's there, you've got to just keep pushing. Whatever you say, you've got to go ahead and say it.
Amen.
Because you don't know what will happen in the end.
Anyway,
can you see that...
You can, your position, where you are, is defined by your apprehension. And that defines your state, your status, your being. But you can't get anywhere. You can't get from here to here except by repentance. Turning, abandoning self. He leaned not on his own arm of understanding. In all his ways he acknowledged the Father. That testing, that temptation, must be repeated in you.
If you're a child, you're still Christ. If you're an adolescent, you're still Christ.
You're still the body of Christ.
More than I ever thought was true, I really have believed that chastisement is separation. Really. Really,
well, that's
bad,
a lie.
Really bad. Situation.
So, the reason you did is you believe that you were illegitimate.
Yeah.
An illegitimate child has to have constant affirmation of his worth.
Well, yeah, an illegitimate child is there only while he's tolerated. It's like a favor.
Anyway, we didn't study a damn thing I wanted to tonight.
Well, you didn't.